You are in the power zone now with DU. DU's Power Zone.
The Power Zone with DU, dedicated to bringing you insightful communication and resources that will guide you further in making your personal and professional goals a reality. Through candid, stimulating, and essential conversations, we focus on the 9 universal goals of success, which include career, finances, education, family, arts, attitude, health and wellness, leisure, and public service. Based upon these goals, we provide you, the listener, with practical measures of advancement.
Good evening, family, and welcome to the Power Zone. Again, welcome to the Power Zone. I am your host, Darlene A. Anderson, founder of Darlene's Utopia and author of Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win When It Appears as If You've Already Lost, and you are in the Power Zone with DU. Today is April the 22nd, and as always, I'm excited and fired up and ready to go. We have a fantastic, fantastic show lined up for you this evening, so get ready, get your pen and paper, log on, tell a family member, tell a friend, tell everybody, check out the Power Zone right now. Tweet it, Facebook it, Instagram it, because it's going down tonight on the Power Zone. Now, when I came in, I said that I am the founder of Darlene's Utopia, an empowerment-based company created to provide resources, forums, conferences to help you elevate to your highest level of potential personally and or professionally. Now, we are post the Mogul Zone. Now, if you've been following us, you know that we just finished our entrepreneurial conference, The Making of Moguls 2, Let Your Brand Shine Through. I'm going to take you guys out on a little break, and we're going to share some information about The Making of Moguls. And when we return, I'll tell you a little bit about our special guest and then invite them on the air with us. We'll be right back after this break.
The Making of Moguls is a component of Darlene's Utopia. It's designed to educate, motivate, and provide entrepreneurs with resources as it relates to establishing successful businesses and maintaining them. If you missed The Making of Moguls 2, Let Your Brand Shine Through, log on to darlenesutopia.com to catch all of the great highlights and footage for The Making of Moguls 2. We focus on personal branding, professional branding, and social media branding. At this time, Darlene's Utopia acknowledges and thanks Dr. Oliver T. Reed of I Am a Solution, Renee Daniel Flagler, author and speaker, Onika D. McLean, personal and professional development coach, Don Sinkfield of Help to Adjust, Tony Coleman Brown of Network for Women in Business, Toastmasters International, Mr. Aaron Brown of the 41st District, Reliable Taxes and Accounting Services, our community partners, Health First, represented by Ms. Carlene Lambert, PIP Women Rock, the Lexington Development Group, the Bruce Wayne Music Group, Lady M Stainless Steel, Dillis the Coaching Cupid Davis, Regina A.C. Turner of Financial Education Services, DMH Beauty Creations, the Empowerment and Healing Channel, Daniel Candles, and Amazing Wellness for You. Darlene's Utopia thanks our presenters and participating sponsors in making The Making of Moguls 2, Let Your Brand Shine Through, a successful event.
Welcome back, family. I am your host, Darlene A. Anderson, founder of Darlene's Utopia and author of Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win When It Appears As If You've Already Lost. Now, when we went out on a break, I spoke to you guys about The Making of Moguls 2, Let Your Brand Shine Through. And you heard a little bit about The Making of Moguls if you're tuning in for the first time via the break. Now, I want you to log on to Darlene's Utopia and check out the pictures from The Making of Moguls 2, Let Your Brand Shine Through. And in your leisure, check out the archive from some of our presenters of The Making of Moguls 2 as they give you a little more information about their businesses and how they can help you elevate to your highest level of potential. Now, with that being stated, I'm extremely excited about our guest on the show for this season. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them, and then I'm going to bring them in. Don Sinfield was raised in Southeast Queens and came of age during the bad old days of the 80s and 90s in New York City. Wanting to serve the community in the era of crack and high crime manifested as a chance to major in criminal justice in college. After finding that law enforcement did not suit his need to serve, he became a teacher's assistant in New York City's public schools. This set him on a lifelong journey in the helping profession. After becoming a teacher, a school counselor, a school counseling chairman, and finally an adjunct professor, Don finally found his calling, doing therapeutic work for individuals, couples, and families in his community of origin. In 2010, Don founded Help to Adjust Counseling and Anger Management in Valley Stream, New York. He and two school counseling colleagues began helping youth and adults in Queens and Long Island to cope with anger, relationship, and other emotional issues. The small private practice has grown from 3 therapists to 7. Now, at a larger location, the practice serves more than 140 individuals and families weekly. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce a colleague, a dear friend, a mogul in his own right, Don Sinfield of Help to Adjust Counseling and Anger Management in Valley Stream. Don, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Darlene. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, and I'm happy to be here.
I'm excited. We're happy to have you. I'm doing my dance right now. I'm jumping out of my skin with excitement because this is a subject that is kind of taboo in the community, and I think that we need to bring it to the forefront, discuss it, and make change as you're doing in your practice. So I'm excited to have you on the call.
Thank you.
Awesome. Now, before we get into the practice and who the professional is, of course, we have to speak to who Mrs. Sinfield is. A New Yorker yourself, born and raised, correct?
That's right.
Awesome. So let's speak a little bit about that. Where exactly were you raised?
I was born in Brooklyn and raised in Southeast Queens, Springfield Gardens. And,
yes.
You know, when I came up, school counseling was something that we didn't get much of unless we were going through some kind of behavioral problem. Then you saw the counselor and the dean. And, you know, when I started working for public schools, I realized that many students needed to talk to the counselor throughout the school year. So it was something that I took from my community of origin that we needed to share the gift of therapy with more students and more people in general.
I agree, and well said. And I myself grew up in East New York, Brooklyn, where I can attest to everything that you're saying. And it wasn't easy. The only time you did see the social worker was when there was a behavioral problem. And not only was that the only time, but there was isolation from the behavioral kids. And therapy really wasn't done the way it should have been done back then. So what put you on the path to wanting change?
It was about 1990, and I was working in a department store doing security, and I was studying criminal justice, believing that I was going to go into some kind of law enforcement. And just working store security and seeing young people being arrested, seeing that there wasn't help being provided, but there was prosecution being encouraged for young people who were misguided and doing wrong things like stealing. I wanted to get into something where I could provide help, and I ended up in the school system doing teacher assistant.
Yes.
Where I was told that I had a good presence and kind of a therapeutic effect on the kids, which encouraged me to go into school counseling. So that's my background. I started out in school counseling, doing counseling in East New York at a high school, and then later in Harlem at a high school for a total of a 15-year career doing that. Started my practice while I was still a school counselor, and ended up doing therapy in Valley Stream and helping a lot more people than I ever expected to.
And you're known. You're known throughout the community. Dawn was out for The Making of Moguls, as I stated, as a presenter on previous calls. I've discussed you and your services. And it was really, it was interesting. It was refreshing. It let me know that you are not just in your office doing service, but you are out there in the community doing things. When you speak to the high school, we had a youth that came out, a young man, and you got up to present, and he said, "I know him. I know him. I remember him at my school." And he had to be around 23, 24 now. So that is probably anywhere between, what, maybe 4 to 6 years, 4 to 8 years?
That's right, yeah.
That he experienced you and you talking to him and providing counseling at the school. So how is it working in inner school systems?
I think that the professionals that are in the school system, for the most part, are good people, well-intentioned people who are there to help. I think on a system-wide level, there is a scarcity of staff in terms of just having enough people to really serve our kids. So often there's, in inner city schools, there's, 500, even 700 students being served by one or two counselors. Mm-hmm. And that is obviously not enough. And so what happens is no one really expects to see the counselor unless there is some kind of dire emergency, and that's how students being underserved.
Did you say 500 to 700 students?
Yes, especially in many of the large schools, even college advisement. It might be a senior class in a big school like Madison High School or Abraham Lincoln High School. There might be 500 students who are in the senior class, and there's literally one counselor who is serving that large amount of students, and maybe one counselor and a college advisor. And so when 500 students are looking for advisement on college and there's literally one person, then you can imagine the kids who don't have some other assistance are not getting served at all.
Wow. That's interesting. And I had no idea that the numbers reached like that per counselor. I want to ask you, being in the field of social services for an extended period of time, I've often worked with parents who have children in elementary school that are being diagnosed at young ages, not just for cognitive delays, but for behavioral matters as well, behavioral diagnostics, as well. Do you work with a lot of parents who have children? Because some of our listeners may know someone or may be experiencing this themselves, young children who have IEPs in elementary school?
Absolutely. And every parent wants the best for their child. And so often when I was in the public schools, definitely sometimes we tried to help parents by seeing if they could get their child maybe a conference or an evaluation where they could be evaluated to see if there was maybe a learning issue, maybe a social emotional issue that needed to be dealt with. And a lot of parents shied away from this because they were worried that their child would be labeled in some way or put on some kind of medication, and they did not want that. So apparently education seems to be the most important thing, because when you educate parents and you show them what rights they have under state and federal law in terms of their child getting services, actually many of the laws benefit young people, but the fear and stigma of their child being labeled or given medications sometimes stops people from getting that child examined. So the child might be dealing with a bipolar or dealing with some kind of learning disability like dyslexia, and if the parent refuses to really get the evaluation and get the assistance, then that child has to suffer without being helped, and that's not good.
Now, presently, is there a law that states that if a parent is in denial and is advised by the school that the child gets assessed, if the parent refuses, is that considered a form of neglect?
It's very hard to prove that a parent is being neglectful unless the child is simply not attending school or the child is doing something that puts him or herself in imminent danger. If a child is simply not doing well and the school-based support team or a private therapist like myself or someone else says, I advise you to get an evaluation, maybe an IEP might be helpful. If this parent, you know, just doesn't want to do it, most of the time, or all of the time that I've seen, there's not a charge of neglect filed. It's only if the child is putting himself in imminent danger.
Thank you for sharing, sir. And I just want to let our listeners know that DOE has ongoing training where you can learn about your child's IEP, learn about your children's diagnosis, ask any questions you want. Please follow up with your parent coordinators and your district family advocates. You can check the Department of Education in that regard, because help is out there for you as it relates to DOE and IEP. So thank you for sharing. I have one final question about that, and then we'll move on to help to adjust. The transition between adolescence and adulthood, like when teenagers are preparing to graduate and they're kind of maxing out of their IEPs. In your clinical experiences, what is your advice as it relates to the steps that should be taken from graduating to 12th grade, preparing for mainstream society, whether it's working or going into college?
The parents should try to gain a relationship with the school counseling professional, with the college advisor. Many schools have transitional services right there on site where you can go and talk about what the options are. But depending on who your child is, there might be many different ways that you want to approach it. I mean, if you have a child who's a high achiever and, you know, knocked high school out the park with no problem, then you want to talk to that college advisor about how can I get my child into the best college program that, you know, you won't be paying $100,000 back in debt from college loans, okay? But then there's many kids who have those social and emotional issues or those learning disabilities, but they can be very productive in society if they are guided into the right services. So
yes.
You had the program FEGS, you had the program, there was another one that that we used a lot of that, not remembering the name right now, that helped kids to get training, formal job training, where they would learn different skills, computer, other things, because many, there's different kinds of intelligences.
Correct.
So that you might have a student that might not be able to pass the global history regents, but he can fix, he can fix things, he can put things together, take them apart, he can program computers. And so, you know, it's really a matter of guiding that young person into something that fits them, that they can be productive in, because everybody wants to succeed. And when you give a person a chance to succeed, that is, that's when young people feel good and are self-motivated to do
correct
better.
Thank you so very much for sharing that. And I guess that's actually where your practice can come into play as well, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful. So let's speak to it. Let's speak to help to adjust. And congratulations on a new location. I know I'm letting the cat out the bag, but I already did a couple of episodes ago. So the cat's been out the bag. We're just happy that you're now in Jamaica, Queens, and you have your second practice, and you all are expanding, because it is a great service that you're providing to the community. So congratulations on that.
Thank you, darling. I appreciate that. I'm happy about the expansion also, because I really believe that what we do makes a major difference in the community. And what we try to do for the most part is provide counseling on a sliding scale, so that people who can't necessarily, they cannot afford the out-of-pocket cost, we find a way to have them seen, whether it's for, you know, $40, $30 a session, or we have them seen sometimes for free.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. Now, you all do accept various insurances, correct?
Yes, we do. Cigna, Aetna, $11.99, Blue Cross Blue Shield, MagnaCare, Affinity, Health First, a few others. And, I mean, unfortunately, I mentioned this at Making of Moguls, your wonderful event. That,
thank you.
You're welcome. It truly is a wonderful event. I mentioned that there's a outdated law in New York that some healthcare companies are still using social workers and not using counselors, because the counseling license is a newer license in New York. So people who have GHI and maybe Oxford and a couple of others that only use social workers, again, we do try to see people for a very low cost, so that we don't have to turn anyone away.
Beautiful, because it is a need, actually, and I want to speak to that. Aside from the not turning people away, how is it getting people to come in? Growing up in New York City, East New York, Brooklyn, I'm sure you have experienced the whole mental health thing being taboo, especially with people of color. You know, as a woman of color, I can say that. And growing up in a Christian home where everything was about Jesus and there was no such thing as mental health, if something was wrong, we were praying on it. We were praying on it in the name of Jesus to make it right. That was my upbringing. How has that been for you? Have you experienced similar upbringing, similar things within the community as far as people being resistant to mental health?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I think it is improving, but I definitely believe that people still have a stigma that's attached to mental health, where they believe that if you seek mental health help, that you are somehow having a breakdown, somehow, as you alluded to, that you have a lack of faith because all you need is God and prayer, and that, you know, if you are, I even had a woman say to me when I was talking to her about the services, she simply said, "No, Jesus," as if they were in direct opposition to each other. And I believe they truly are not in opposition to each other, because your faith is something that is very personal, your spiritual connection, you know, with your God. That is not something that any counselor worth his salt or her salt would never want to take that away from people. It could simply enhance the developmental understanding that you get when you come to counseling, because counseling is really based on the human personality, and we all formed our personality by learning how we receive love in the world. So, you know, if you were that first child, that, you know, that oldest child, and you took care of everyone, you learned that's how you received love, because you were approved of and appreciated for taking care of the others, and that becomes part of your personality. So, you know, a lot of
you're speaking your story as the elder child. It's innate. It's something that you just do so naturally because it's a part of you for so long. I'm the eldest of four. So by nature, I'm a caregiver by nature.
Right. And that affects people for their entire lives, how they deal with husbands, wives, their own children, their careers. And so, you know, when things go wrong and people are struggling through a hard time, to help people to see their own identity and how it mixes into and makes a difference in their interactions with all types of people in their life, that helps. And that's not in opposition to, you know, the spiritual walk. That's a supplement to the spiritual walk.
Thank you for sharing that. I actually speak to this in my book. I open up with spirituality, and then a couple of principles down, I speak about supportive networks and how important supportive networks are. And it's separate in itself. And one of the supportive networks that I reference is therapeutic intervention. It's extremely important, because my spirituality, and I'm big on spirituality as far as getting up, meditating. It doesn't matter what your belief is, as long as you believe in something, the universe, yourself, whatever motivates you outside of, you know, the whole external factors of the world, that's your thing. But when it's all said and done and you have those things, it's also great to have a form of structure to help you along the way. And that's how I look at therapy. It's solution-based. It's helping you deal with some of the inevitable things that happen in the world that we have no control over. And it's preparing us to move forward. And you kind of referenced that at the making of Moguls when we spoke to, you spoke to crisis intervention, you spoke to consequential thinking, and those things are really important, especially in the world that we live in today.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, people, I believe, are starting to get it, darling. People are definitely starting to see that therapy can be very helpful. And, you know, regardless of what we may think of some of the reality TV that comes on, I do think that reality television has made a difference, because on many of the reality TV shows, it's demonstrated that people are seeking therapy, whether Toni Braxton or the Braxton show, there was a family counselor that was helping them. On Love and Hip Hop, I remember seeing couples counseling. And so even though some of those instances were obviously hyped up to make good TV by producers, it's still, I think, showing people that, you know, it's normalizing counseling, that it's something that people think of and do when they're experiencing issues.
Thank you. Very important. Listeners, it's okay. It's okay to go and speak to someone. When we come back, we're going to speak to some of these topics that it's okay to go and speak about. I love the fact that you not only just say that you provide counseling, but you actually give different modules of the services that are provided. So we're going to speak to that, and we're going to give you guys some information about where you can find Don and his practice, the therapist. Everyone's listed here on the page when we return. So I can't believe how fast time is moving. We have a song of the show, and that's when we ask our guests to share what song motivates them and why. So if you will, sir, what motivates you?
Well, I really love the song Empire State of Mind by Jay-Z. It speaks to Brooklyn and to New York as just being a place where people are hustling in a way that is positive to just meet goals and achieve. And so, you know, that's one of my favorites.
That is definitely one of my favorites as well. So we're going to go out on Empire State of Mind. And when we come back, I want you guys to log on to the website. And we're just going to give a couple of tidbits. If Don will share with us just a little bit before we let him go, because we don't want to keep you. We know you have to prepare for your work day tomorrow and save the world. We'll be right back after this break.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from I made the Yankee hat more famous than the Yankee king. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot. Corners where we selling Africa been by the home of the hip hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair. They act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked city. It's a pity half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug special and I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice CeeLo, three card Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King. Yo, I'm from the Empire State. That's so they could step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties who sip the life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the apple Eve. Caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style. And in the winter gets cold, in vogue with your skin out. City of.
Are you in need of professional painting services at an affordable price? If so, consider painting to be a blessing for your painting needs in your home or business space. Contact Painting to Be a Blessing at 646-500-9838 or follow them online at paintingtobeablessing.com. Again, that's paintingtobeablessing.com for all your professional painting needs at an affordable price. Darlene's Utopia is a full-service consulting company created to empower, motivate, and provide resources for clients through coaching, speaking engagements, and events. Our goal is to help clients and event attendees reach their highest personal and professional potential. To learn more about Darlene's Utopia, log on to www.darlenesutopia.com.
Welcome back, family. I am your host, Darlene A. Anderson, and you are in the Power Zone with DU. Again, you are in the Power Zone with DU. I am here with my friend, my business partner, for the Making of Moguls, a community advocate, Mr. Don Stinkfield of Help to Adjust Counseling and Anger Management. Don, welcome back to the call.
Hi, Darlene. Glad to be here.
Beautiful. So when we left that, we were really speaking to a lot of things. So we've covered IEPs, the school system, Don just taking us in and giving us an overview of what it's like, not just for students, but also for professionals, counselors within the Department of Education. You've really provided some great insight for us. Some of our listeners are parents in DOE, or if you know somebody, please refer them back to the call. Give them some of the tidbits, and hopefully we can help someone else out there who is going through some things and needs some answers. With that said, let's speak again to Help to Adjust. I wanted to reference when you were out at the Making of Moguls, you actually gave a great presentation on coping skills. So I just wanted to share a little bit with our listeners as it relates to that presentation.
Coping, stress management is something that everyone has to deal with. And part of what I was saying is that, you know, there's a lot of coping skills that we hear about that are great, like, you know, using some form of physical activity to get your stress out, whether it's exercising or squeezing a stress ball when you're angry, or, you know, something that you are doing that's a lifestyle change, okay? There's also, what I was focusing on at Making of Moguls is that there's also cognitive things. There's ways that you can think of situations that can be helpful. So one of the things that I shared was, you can ask yourself the question, what do I need to be okay right now? Because when you are in a stressful situation, there's a stressful event that has happened, you have to have a high level of self-awareness to get through that stressful event without blowing up or without doing something irrational at that moment. And so if you ask yourself that question, what do I need to be okay right now? The answer to that question has to be something internal that you can decide to do that can help you to get closer to being okay. So that could be reframing the situation in your mind. What is the worst thing that can happen right now? And usually if you realize that the worst thing that can happen is that you can be a little irritated that this person hasn't done what you thought they were supposed to do, or that the situation is actually correctable even if you can't control the the actual momentary happenings, you can actually make yourself okay by realizing those things. But sometimes we go into a defense or disaster mode where we believe that if we don't control what is happening right now, then we are going to, you know, have this meltdown. And just asking yourself that question and knowing that it's not about controlling others, but about controlling yourself, can be a coping mechanism for stress.
Thank you. Well said. And it needs to be said, because we live in a day and age where everything, you walk out of your door for your daily commute, and that's stressful within itself. The supermarket is stressful within itself, dealing with bureaucratic systems, whether it's school, work, the DMV, everything is stressful. And sometimes it's really, it requires a lot of discipline. Being able to control that impulsive behavior to where, like you said, it's defensive. Someone says something to you, you know, someone touches you, you're just automatically just ready to just snap. And that takes time. It takes time to learn how to deal with you, because, like you said, you have no control over anything but yourself. Does that take time and effort to do?
Yes, it does, because you know, part of what therapy is it's increasing your self-awareness, and it's not what many of the hospitals do, which is encouraging people to, you know, take a Xanax or take something to just relax, or some type of anti-stress medication, because we are actually trying to teach people the skills internally to feel differently about stressful situations, and that definitely is work. So that being said, you know, if what you are working with people to help them do is work intensive in itself, many people don't have the desire to change things that they have known all of their life. So if, you know, some people actually identify with the anger as being, well, this is just me, you know, this is how I am or who I am, and that, you know, that's something we try to struggle with. But yes, you are right. It takes time and effort to consistently change behaviors that you've had for many years.
Thank you. And you also work with the reentry population that are mandated to anger management programs?
Yes. The thing that I've noticed is that when people are mandated to take anger management courses, very often, you know, they come in maybe a little bit resistant, or maybe they come in believing that if you would just help them get through this unfortunate thing that they have to do, that they would, you know, they'd feel better, or they'd feel grateful if you just get it over as quickly as possible. But many of those people actually end up feeling empowered and feeling appreciative that they came to us, because, you know, we offer anger management in individual sessions. So it's not just a class that you are sitting in with a lot of people who don't have things in common with you. And, you know, sometimes, at times, some of those classes can feel demoralizing to people. Let's say if you are a person that has done, you know, you got into an argument with your brother at the house and the police were called, and you and your brother had this, you know, there ended up being this arrest being made, and you ended up getting in trouble because you weren't calming down enough when the police were talking to you, or whatever the case. You go through some of the courses, you could be in a course with someone who is a was a violent offender for many years, and not that that person is all bad in any way, but it is demoralizing to people sometimes to be lumped in with groups of people that they really don't feel they have a lot in common with. So yeah. One of the things we offer at Help to Adjust is individual sessions where we teach the principles of anger management and do therapeutic counseling. I think it's very helpful for people.
Listeners, if you're logged onto your devices right now, you can check out helptoadjustcounselingny.com. Again, that's helptoadjustcounselingny.com. And there you will find Mrs. Finkfield as well as other therapists. Dawn, I love this site. It's very, it's inviting. Usually when you go to a site, you're just seeing text and pictures that are pretty much generic and universally used. But I like the fact that your site is very personal. You get to meet the therapists and other professionals. This is awesome.
Oh, thank you. And these individuals,
you're very much welcome. These individuals are based at Valley Stream as well as Jamaica?
Yes. And, you know, Jamaica has Larry Edwards, who will be featured on the website soon. Larry Edwards is a wonderful therapist. He's also a black male therapist. And I find that many people who call want or looking for therapists of color, maybe for their sons or, you know, family members. So the idea of having diversity in our counseling staff is very important. And Help to Adjust Counseling, we really started as a group, as a counseling group that wanted to not only have services available, but make them affordable, and we emphasize that on the website as well.
Beautifully said, thank you. And if you log on to the website, there you will see the services that are provided. So just to give you an overview of what's being provided at Help to Adjust Counseling and Anger Management, you have domestic violence therapy, drug and alcohol therapy, anger treatment, cognitive therapy, family therapy, general therapy, managed relationship counseling, and teenage therapy. This is awesome, and I like the fact that there is something here for everyone. You are literally servicing your community in which you're from. This is awesome, and I'm very grateful for your service to your community.
I'm humbled. Thank you.
You're very much welcome. So, family, again, if you're logged on, that's helptoadjustcounselingny.com. Helptoadjustcounselingny.com. There again, you will see Dawn, you will see the full staff and all the services provided. You will also learn about the various insurances that he mentioned that are accepted. And as he said, there is a sliding scale. So please don't worry about the cost. If you're in need of service, call and get the information.
That's right. And, you know, if you log on to helptoadjustcounselingny.com, it'll take you to valleystreamtherapist.com. But I want everybody to know that we're in Jamaica, Queens as well. So although you're going to see that Valley Stream Therapist, that's been our website for a long time, just know that we're in the Jamaica area, very centrally located, and we want to help the community. So if you are experiencing some kind of issue, or you know someone else who is, tell them to come in, because it's a supportive and positive environment.
Thank you very much, sir. And that number is 516-459-2920. Again, 516-459-2920. It's been a pleasure. We've been planning this call. I'm so glad we had an opportunity to do it on this evening. And I'm just looking forward to the next mobile event and doing work in the community. You know, we have our nonprofit now, Utopia Network Incorporated. I'm extremely excited about that. And we definitely will be reaching out to help to adjust as it relates to our upcoming events in the community.
Wonderful, and I'm looking forward to future events also with you, Darlene.
Thank you so very much. Have a great evening, and until next time, listeners, be well. Tell your family, tell your friends about the Power Zone with DU every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Take care, all.